Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears. You.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first Bears victory, 79th in Hallis. It is your boy Flows. I'm here with my brother Scott, Barb Chair Scott on Twitter, Flows Underlini on Twitter. The Bears defeated the Cincinnati Bengals 20-17 in the game that was annoying, far too close. But as head coach,
by the way, this is episode 180. By the way,
I don't pay attention to numbers, bro.
Yeah, you should, because we were 20 away from our 200th episode. Oh. Pay attention to the fucking episode numbers.
Whatever, nigga. But I will give Matt Nagy credit for saying, for the phrase that wins are not easy to come by the National Football League. So you should celebrate them. You know, old school coaches don't celebrate easy wins. They would say, no, you should be ashamed. But no, you should feel good that you won the game. Now, should you feel as good as you would in a convincing fashion? Not at all. But general thoughts, because I see Scott is in a almost sleep-like state right now.
I'm not that bad. I'm yawning what you're saying, because a win is a fucking win. This is the NFL. By 30, you said you wouldn't feel as good as you did if you blow out. Win is a fucking win.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel as good as I did if it was a blowout. Of course I wouldn't.
A win is a win.
You're going to go to film the next day. You're going to say, man, I can't believe we did ABC. You're going to blow out. You're just going to be laughing in the film room. That's literally, I think, solid deductive logic.
Hey, Rob needs to go look at the film and look at that damn drop he had in the end zone.
That's a bad drop.
That's a terrible.
It's an awful drop.
The more I watch it, the more angry I get about it.
I mean, it was placed on the money.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it literally was like, here's a pass.
You couldn't throw it. And that Mooney catch, too.
Mooney? Well, okay, so I got a chance to talk to. First off, let's give a congratulations for ourselves. The Barber's Chair celebrated our first ever credentialed official regular season NFL game.
Let's make some noise.
Let's give ourselves some credit. As you all know, I covered last year for the Bigs in this training camp, but you know, decided that it was time to go, you know, us to fully do our independent thing and to fully embrace the game from our own angles and our own perspectives. And I was able to cover them. It was a fantastic time. Room for more on the team. Scott's going to be at one of the games in a couple of weeks,
yes,
covering it with me.
Bears, Niners, holla at your boy.
So also there's going to be video content for the Patreon that I haven't even informed Scott of this yet, but it's an idea I thought after the game. Our post-game coverage will be exclusive for the Patreon. You'll get a Twitter video.
Oh, I've heard it here first.
You'll get a Twitter video, but because we appreciate the people who donate money to us and help further our company, there will be more in-depth coverage from Soldier Field available for the Patreon tiers, $5 and $10. So thank you to all our paying customers. But as always, we still never want to be a company who just starts aggressively trying to get money out of people. We do appreciate the support you all give us. And it culminated in this. We started 7th and Hollis. How many years ago, Scott?
Six years ago, we started
Barber's Chair Network in 2018. So 4 years later from there, completely 4 years later. It was because it started in January 2018, right?
Or was it December? We started 7th at the Hallis September 2015, and we started.
Well, that's 7 years completely.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying we started Barber Show on January 1st, 2018.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, that's been 4 years and 7 years. So, once again, I'm really feeling grateful to be able to cover the games for you all and to bring you all coverage and give you a different perspective of everything. But anyway, what are your initial thoughts of the game? Just not specific, that horrible Allen Robinson drop or the Mooney drop.
Yeah, of course, we're getting specifics later in the episode. But my thoughts was, it's a good win. It's a good win. The defense showed himself. The defense heard the media talking, and I'm including us in the media. We were both talking, and rightfully so. Let's not act like, you know, this was wrongful. Instead of, I get that it was slander. Slander is only shit that's not true. This is true. You know what I'm saying? Like, you went out there. They played like shit last week. Let's just keep it all the way above. They played like shit. They went out there and they shut me the fuck up. They shut all of us the fuck up. Khalil Mack had a great game. Khalil Mack had a sack. Was also influential in that Robert Quinn sack. Eddie Jackson, after me going in on him last week, was all over the damn field.
He cannot tackle, but he knows how to make plays.
But that's what we've been asking, though. We know. I'm not asking for him to tackle. I know he can't tackle. Make fucking plays. Be a ball hawk. If you do that, I don't give a fuck about you tackling. Like he's saying, Deion Sanders couldn't fucking tackle, but he makes fucking plays. So if he goes out there and does what he does, it's like the last couple, all last season and last week, I didn't feel like I saw that effort from Eddie Jackson. This was the best Eddie Jackson game I've seen since 2019. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I like to see. He was all over the place, causing a fumble. He was just all over the damn field. Jalen Johnson is a fucking beast.
Jalen Johnson's just a great corner.
That but, dog is a beast. That's why I'm also even more mad that we fucking didn't keep Kyle Fuller.
Yeah, once again, if anybody has any Broncos fans, family, or if you're a Broncos fan listening to this, I don't know why you would be, but I would appreciate it if you were. Let us know how Kyle Fuller is doing. You know, I can check highlights and see you all are 2-0 if I'm correct, because Teddy Bridgewater had another good game. But it's hard for me to, you know, get highlights of how Kyle Fuller is doing. Shout out to the dedicated YouTube channels. I think like Highlight Heaven, I can't remember, be putting up clips like that of players. But unless I'm looking at all 22, it's hard to know how Kyle Fuller is doing. So I would love to know how he's doing. But yeah, it's tough, especially when Kendall Vildor got cooked on two straight touchdowns or two straight big plays. And funny thing is, before that, I'm sorry, I just jumped ahead of you.
But Jalen Johnson is a dog. Roquan fucking Smith is a top five linebacker in this league. The amount of disrespect he gets is fucking ridiculous. He doesn't make it a fucking Pro Bowl. He didn't even make that fucking NFL top 100, which is a fucking popularity contest. This dude is a fucking all pro, and he's going to get fucking played. And my last overall thought is that Justin Fields' era is fucking here. It is fucking here. That is why we all know. We saw. We're going to get in that comments in a minute. I want to get all the way in there. You have a better opinion of you right there, but he said the same shit he said last year when he benched Mitch, and we all know what that means. It's the end of the fucking road, man. So I'm ecstatic, and I'm fully locked in for the next 15 games.
When we asked about Justin Fields starting, he reiterated every single time Andy Dalton is our starter. When we asked if Andy Dalton's healthy, he's a starter. He's like, I'm not going to get into that. I'm like, it looked exactly like you said. With Mitch, he was looking for any possible thing to sit him. Like the game, like Mitch had like one interception before that game against Atlanta.
He had two in that game. He threw one in the first.
Before that game, literally. Before that game.
He didn't have a pick in the Detroit game. He didn't have a pick.
It was the third game that he was benched.
He was benched in the third. Was the third game?
Third game.
Yeah.
So I thought he had one interception before in one of those games before.
I don't know. I'm talking about in that game. I don't know what he had in the first.
Well,
game.
Fat man. Mitch, my point is that game before that game.
Yeah, that's what the fuck I said in that game. He had a pick in the first quarter, and then he threw a pick at halftime. Okay. That was a pick six.
You're gonna be covering the Bears from the 400 section, my nigga. You're gonna be covering it from the 400 section.
Pick six. In the second quarter.
You're going to be covering it from the 400 section, nigga.
He threw a fucking pick six in the second quarter.
Okay.
And that's why
he brought Foles in the I'm putting cases on all you.
And Foles led that fucking comeback. And he said the same shit. I'm not going to comment on that. We're going to evaluate. Remember he said we're going to evaluate both. We'll make our decisions.
Yes.
And then he came up there on Wednesday. So Nick's our guy. We're going to roll Nick.
It didn't give much. Okay, so he threw three touchdowns, no interceptions his first game versus Detroit, two touchdowns, two picks in a win versus the Giants. Then he was one touchdown, one pick versus Atlanta. So up until there, he had, five touchdowns, two picks, and a pretty solid quarterback rating those first two games, ironically. And all me and Scott were saying, all Scott was saying was that Matt is going to find any excuse to bench Mitch. Okay. And then what happened? And the funny thing is Nagy's face after a win is always amped because it's just the kind of person he is. But there was an excitement on his face that I like to think comes from the fact that you got a fresh slate. He has what he's probably wanted since he came.
He has an excuse. He has an excuse now.
He has an excuse, but I think more than that, and this is not to say he's a good coach. So please don't get this misconstrued. He has what he has wanted since he came into and since he became the Bears coach. A quarterback he drafted and he wanted to mold in his offense. That's what he has. That's what he has. And so, of course, you know, somebody, Andy Dalton, he's a veteran. He's been there for 10 plus years. Nick Foles, Mr. Trubisky, he did not draft, had a year before him. And so he has what he has now in Justin Fields. And so, yeah, no, I do not. If Andy Dalton comes back in, I'd be thoroughly shocked.
I don't think it's going to happen. Like, it, just because of the feelings you said, and then you tell me that you said he was smiling like a 5-year-old when he was in the press.
He's just also,
on top of, I don't, from a game plan perspective, on top of me thinking Nagy's like, oh, I truly 100% feel that Nagy only started Dalton because they signed him before they drafted and they promised him. I 100% believe. I don't think, you know, I don't think it was because he felt like Andy could give him the best. He has eyes. And then all the comments, like we were saying on I'm Not Gonna Hold You, like we said on the preview pod, the comments were loud from not just the coaching staff, but the players this week. And then also before the game started, you was at the games. I don't know if you saw this, but Ian Rapoport and Jay Glazer both said, expect Justin Fields to be starting sooner rather than later. He said there's optimism growing in that building. The rumor is this. I don't know if this is true. I just some shit I saw on Bears Twitter, so take this with a grain of salt. The rumor is that the Bears ownership started putting that pressure on Matt Nagy about playing the kid. So, but the outside of the fact that it's just, it would be stupid game plan wise to put him out there and then put him back on the bench. I think Andy Dalton's actually hurt. Besides that, I think Andy Dalton's actually fucking hurt. The fact that even brought up the word ACL tells me that it's at least a meniscus or MCL or something.
Well, and it was a non-contact injury, so.
Which is the worst when it comes to knees.
Those
are never great. And also, on top of all that, like the way that like he couldn't even be on his plant foot. And then when he said, whenever a coach says, we'll know in 24 to 48 hours, that means they need to do another MRI, and that's never fucking good.
That means they can't find a source of why his knee is aggravated.
Yeah.
So he had 15 minutes of, if it was a strain, not a sprain, because a sprain takes some time. If it was just a strain or just a cramp, which I, at first, you know, shout out to these Nikon binoculars I just got. Not going to tell you how much money I spent on them. I'm ashamed. But what I can see with them is ridiculous. I'm in the press.
They got no TVs in the press box?
I mean, but if I want to see what's on the sideline, there's no camera facing the sideline.
Oh, I guess you know,
I can see, you know, there's a.
I'm just trying to visualize what it'll be like when I get up there.
There's a 10-second delay, which is why I put the play on Twitter before it actually happens.
Yeah, that's why I don't be on Twitter. I'm only tweet if it's not like on LA TV, so I can see it while it's happening. I don't tweet till commercial break.
I know there are some people who at work that don't have a TV in front of them. There are plenty of people who are working don't have a TV in front of them. So I don't tweet every play, but I like to tell them, okay, this is a big play. This was a big play. And there's a 10-second delay from the TV to the actual play. But yeah, I completely lost my train of thought saying that. What was I talking about?
We was talking about Dalton's injury.
Oh, yeah. So Dalton's injury, you know, it happened. I didn't even know that it happened. I was looking, but something was different about Dalton. His throws didn't have as much velocity on them, and the sack happened, and he did barely move. But I was like, huh, okay. You know, what's happening here? Then you look on the sideline, and I'm talking to Herb next to me, Herbert Biggs, and I'm talking to Nick of Chicago Audible. I was like, y'all see Andy Dalton? And we didn't even pay attention. He was like, no, I don't. We all start looking at our binoculars, and we looked up on Twitter, and it was either like Brad Biggs or Dan Weeder was like, Andy Dalton went to the locker room, which is, you know, I always got to keep, I learned to always keep my eyes on the field when something like that is happening, but he was in the locker room. And so I was like, okay, Justin's going to get a 2-minute drill right here. And then when he came out and I still saw him favoring that leg, I was like, huh. I was like, well, I don't think it's an ACL because he wouldn't have jogged that much.
Remember when he went back in there for the next drive? When he got sacked and he came off limp, and I was like, he's fucking hurting.
That was my point. He barely moved on that sack. Yeah. Andy Dalton is not, you know, he doesn't have Peyton Manning.
He was moving today. He had some wheels today.
Andy Dalton has never had Tom Brady feet. Tom Brady's not getting out of the pocket and running. Andy Dalton has you know, average wheels for an athlete at that level. He burned me and you. He burned people out, you know, people I know. But to see him take that sack, I was like,
of course he burns me and you. He's a fucking athlete.
I don't know if he burns me in high school, but that's another story.
Get the fuck out of here.
My 40 was incredible.
He burned your ass in high school.
No, he wouldn't burn. My 40 was incredible. My shadow times were pro-worthy. Pro-worthy. Okay. Pro-worthy. But anyway, so it was it did not look promising from what I saw. So my only hope is, regardless of fans who want, you know, Justin Fields to start and they want to get the era over with, I don't want nobody to get injured. Injuries suck.
No, you never want anybody to get hurt. I wasn't cheering for the injury. I wouldn't. And the way I found out about it, like I said, Sunday Ticket is like two plays behind. Yeah. I was watching the game and I saw in the group chat Damian putting big caps, "It's time." I was like, "What you talking about?" He's like, "Dalton got hurt." And as soon as he put that in the group chat, I looked up and Dalton was limping off the field. It's like, it was a weird feeling. I was like, "Let's go." And I was like, "Oh shit, no, he's hurt." Like, it's one of those feeling like you're happy because Justin's about to play, but you're not. Andy Dalton's a good dude. You know what I'm saying? When he went out there, when Justin sealed the game with that first down, the way he was the first person to celebrate with Justin. He's a good guy. Like I always say, my beef has never been with Andy Dalton. It's been the idea of Andy Dalton, like I said last week. I won't get into my CM Punk thing again, but you know what I said last week. So that's what it's about. So, yeah, I hope Andy Dalton is fine. Not only I hope he's fine, because if Justin gets hurt, that's a good backup to have.
Yeah, because I don't want Nick Foles in.
Hell no.
But, yeah, so, no, I one thing's for sure. I want to, you know, I have no clue if Andy Dalton listens to our podcast, but I want to send prayers to Andy Dalton. And, you know, I'm praying that everything is good, that it's a sprain. You know, at the worst, and if not, it's something you could come back from quicker, because, you know, nobody likes that. I still think, you know, he's viable, just not
so as a man who's there, give us a percentage to the people at home who might have some Bears fear about thinking Nagy will still start Dalton. Give us your percentage that Justin Fields is starting under center in Cleveland on Sunday. I'm gonna say 98.
I'm about 80.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna say 100.
I'm about 80% sure, because here's the thing. They're going to do testing tomorrow. There is no practice tomorrow. There's no whatchamacallit. There's no availability tomorrow, but there's practice Tuesday. And they're going to do testing, I'm guessing, Monday, maybe Tuesday. He misses one day of practice that Justin Fields will have. That's already going to set him back immensely. Then they have Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday is Matt Nagy's availability. So I would doubt that.
Only 80? Because Nagy did say to ask him if healthy is he the starter. He said, "I'm not going to get into that."
Matt Nagy is a wild card, bro. He does stuff that I hate. So
yeah, but could you really see him going to Dalton after this? Like, honestly, Nagy's done a lot of wild shit here. I don't ever think he would do that.
I have no clue. Right now, I really wish I would be able to go Tuesday for his
media. Are you going Monday?
There's nothing happening Monday.
Oh, okay. There's nothing happening. Okay.
No. So I would really love to be available for his media availability, so I could ask nigga what, you know, and just just hear, you know, what his take on what's happening. But yeah, so I don't know. I would say I'm going to say
give us higher than 80, man.
I'm going to say 80. I'm sticking with 80.
I'm going 100.
Sticking with 80.
I'm going 100. I see no way how Andy Dalton's starting that. None. I don't give a damn if the MRI is clean. I just don't see how you do it.
Okay.
I would be flat out stunned. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Like, he was already getting killed. You think he got killed in the media now? It would be ridiculous. I just don't see it whatsoever. I think he's done. I think you can put the nail in the coffin on that. I think this Sunday will be Baker Mayfield versus Justin Fields. But let's get into a couple of these voicemails before we get back, till we talk about Justin's performance and things of that nature.
Okay, we have three voicemails. Let's see what's shaking on the Go Crazy Hotline. Hopefully my Bluetooth headphones.
What's good, y'all? This is Gator. We 1-1 in this bit. So much for what y'all was for what you was saying, Flo's, about Joe Burrow finna drop on his knee on us. Pause. The defense was whooping his ass, except for them goofy ass plays at the end of the game. But yeah, we 1-1 in this bit. Fields got in. There was a few drops that shouldn't have happened. The man should have had at least a couple touchdowns, but it's cool. You feel me? We 1-1. The young bull looked decent, made a big play on first down, down the stretch of the fourth quarter to get us the W. So, you know what I'm saying? There now. Club Dells is open. Let's get it.
We got no Club Dove video, not even on IG Live. I didn't see that need to play as IG Live. I just hope that they retire Swag Surf.
Unlikely. I'm pretty sure it's probably COVID protocol, you know, especially if players who are not vaccinated and probably shouldn't be it. You don't want to get yourself in trouble like that. So
that's a good point.
Not really shocked. But anyway, next one's up.
Wow, I'm only calling because the Bears won, and I probably wouldn't have called because I didn't watch this game, but I just saw y'all tweet that we don't be leaving voicemails when we win. I'm just kind of in shock right now because I was not expecting the Bears to win. So I'm going to go back and follow up on all the tweets y'all probably put out, because what happened? We actually played today? Like, we didn't just get mollywopped by the Bengals? I thought we were going to get slammed, all of that. And we decide to play. So I feel like, are we about to be in another chokehold of, like, the Bears, like, giving me a heart attack every freaking weekend? Is that what we're doing this year? I don't know. Well, I guess go Bears. And, yeah, go Bears. This is Ruby.
Always appreciate the love, Ruby.
Definitely.
All right, let's not sure who this is, so we'll see.
Hey, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, D-Miles. Half a bar, bought
online. Dante.
What's
going on? Finally excited, man. It's finally here. It's time for the Justin Fields era. My one concern is Matt Nagy still don't make adjustments. I understand that you come into a game with a game plan, but if a guy goes down, there's no reason why you should stick with that game plan. And we saw too much adjusted in the pocket with that bum-ass O-line. I still think Peters is still in check. That's just my personal opinion, but I'm going to give him time to get in shape. He was on the couch when they signed him, but didn't like a lot of what I saw from Peters, but the O-line as a whole did it a little bit better. But you have to adjust when Justin's in the game. We need to see him outside of that pocket. Use your run game, but I don't think we need to see as many RPOs, because it just turns into a gimmick. Like, we all know what Justin can do. We know the 4-4 speed, but the guys are the quarterback at the end of the day. So now that hopefully, you know, Matt just leans in 100% and we go with Justin. I want to see what he does with him, because in my opinion, the excuses are over. It's time out for all the excuses. We need to see what this Matt Nagy system is and what it's supposed to be. So I need to see some type of improvement from the offense. The Bengals the Bengals gave us that game. So I'm not going to get too high or too low, but I am excited about the fact that it's finally time for Justin Fields. So let me know how y'all feel.
Shout out to my Bald Online co-host. I don't think that the Bengals gave us that game. We took it for them. When you have four turnovers, and you came out here and you punched them in the mouth. That game was closer than it needed to be towards the end, because a lot of you know, I don't feel like, you know, we can get right to it. That's the last voicemail, right?
That is the last voicemail.
Okay, so we can just get into it now. I want to talk about Justin's play, the defense. Before we get to Justin, I want to know, we'll stay on the defense, what are you saying? Do you think this is what the Bears defense can be for the rest of the season? Or is this just, oh, the niggas played the Bengals and they played well? Because I personally think I got to see more. Like, because while it was a great showing, it still is the fucking Bengals. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I will say it's good. Hats off to them. Four turnovers. There was still a lot of plays where wide receivers were wide the fuck open. And I think this offseason, getting Jalen Johnson a cornerback partner is one of the top priorities, because Kendall Vildor made a play or two. Not going to, you know, shit on the kid. He did decent, but he ain't the answer long-term for cornerback number two. You know what I'm saying? They need somebody to solidify that spot. And, of course, when Danny T gets back, you know, Roquan just won't be out there by himself, because we're seeing that Ogletree is a backup for a fucking reason. But I still need to see more. I think next week, if they go out there and they put out a good showing against Cleveland, then I'll feel a little bit better about the defense. But for right now, I'm a good win, but I got to see more. I got to see more from the defense.
Yeah. I guess I'm at the mix, like I said, the mix portion. I am not confident enough to say that this is what the defense is going to be. You know, the Bengals are coming off a win versus the Vikings, in which the offense looks superb. Joe Burrow, despite those three interceptions, two of the interceptions are bad, one is a tip pass, and it just happens sometimes. I'm not going to fault him for that. And he's a good quarterback. And so, what they did against them was great. And so I'm not going to get on this case, you know, too much. But at the same time, you can't take away what they did. You know what I'm saying? You can't take away the sacks and the pressure that they got. Robert Quinn, Khalil Mack both getting sacks. Roquan Smith getting a sack. I think there was one more that I can't remember. Three interceptions, a pick six, a fumble. Like, that's just that. I mean, you're going against an NFL team. That's just great. So, I'm not going to go too far because it is just two games, but I'm also not going to look past it. It's just somewhere in the middle. Somewhere like, well, you know, it was a good game. You know, let's see if they can put it up again, because it's not like, you know, especially, you know, the only thing I will say is that they're going against a Bengals offensive line that allowed five sacks the game before.
Which is what we said in our pregame. If there was any game that the D-line was going to step up, it had to be today.
Yeah. That being said, Joe Burrow still had like a freaking 120-something QBR. I mean, QBR, but quarterback rating. And, you know, so it's not as if he wasn't still balling outside of that. And it's not as if they'd have 100 yards rushing on the ground. Jamar Chase had like 100 yards receiving. So they were still balling in spite of that. But to be able what they did is still what a good defense would do. So it's a step in the right direction. You know, I think this is Jalen Johnson was saying, you know, you must have forgot what playmakers that the defense has. So it's a good step. Also, it appears Matt Nagy does have credentials. I don't think I signed up in time tomorrow. So I will be just as interested as everybody else.
Also, you're speaking tomorrow.
On the Bears, when I looked on the event calendar, I didn't see it. But I'm looking on the Bears calendar on my credential page. I see it. So I'm going to assume that that's happening. So it says Matt Nagy availability, which is pretty straightforward. So I wouldn't be shocked at that. But
it's probably just going to be like an injury recap.
I mean, it's 30 minutes of him talking.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to know anything about Andy till Wednesday.
A good chunk of reporters don't go. Because it's, you know, or they send somebody from their company to go ahead and fill it in for you. So, I mean, I'm not missing much. I think I would like to be. Tuesdays are just always bad for me because of school, because of grad school. But I would love to hear from the players more than anything. But you know, there's no practice the first two games. The only thing you can hear from the players are what did you like, and what did you dislike about game film. We got to get back to what we got to do. Like it's a basic answer. More than anything, what you want to hear from, you know, for Matt Nagy is what is his decision about the quarterback, or how Andy Dalton is doing, how Eddie Goldman is doing. So he's the most important thing. I will be at practice Thursday and Friday. So I will see majority of the practices this week.
So is practice Wednesday or no?
Practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay. All right, cool.
And so they won't be leaving early, and I'll, cause, you know, it's just Cleveland. I'll get a chance to hear from him. And then Friday, you know, as soon as practice is over, I'm going to take off to Cleveland, get a day in, just to relax myself. And then Sunday back at another Bears game. You know, I will see Bears fans there. Never been to the Brown Stadium. I don't even know what it's called. So I'm looking forward to.
I don't know the name of it.
First Energy?
It might be First Energy.
So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the kid, Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. What do you think about his performance?
I would give his performance, all things considered, I'd give it a C minus.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It
was like a lot of nerves to me. He looked like he was nervous.
I mean, it didn't even look like he was nervous to me. I didn't see anything of the nerves. Like, no, you know, I know he seemed eager. He seemed eager. Not so anxious. Anxious is, you know, making like the pick is just the pick was the first time he was used to seeing defenses switch after the snap. When you're in college, it just don't happen that often. You know what I'm saying? The college is a game that is much more managed by the coaches, and the coaches can't make changes to the defense mid snap. That's the job of a linebacker, who's typically the play caller, play signaler. And that does not happen often in college. Typically, you line up in what you are, and it's probably man, and it's going to stay that way. What he saw was a team lined up in cover zero. So Justin was, and that's the good thing about that, you can credit him, which is an interception, and I don't want to be a homer because it was an interception. It was a bad interception.
Oh, that was a terrible fucking interception.
But what he saw was cover zero at the line. And so he's thinking, oh, I got cover zero. So when my receiver runs his drag or his crossing route, I can hit him easily. Who's a dragger? I can hit him easily and nobody's going to be in that destination. If that was cover zero, absolutely. That'd have been another pass for probably a first down. However, they backed out into a zone defense. And when you're throwing with that anticipation, not looking at that linebacker, that's an easy pick. So, yeah, the game was made closer by one of his mistakes. At the same time, there are also drives where he looks fantastic. That pass that he threw to Allen Robinson for would have been about like a 38, 40 yard pass, passing touchdown, was put on the freaking money and completely dropped it. That's not something you want to – just not good. It's just a bad, bad drop. That was Allen Robinson's worst drop as a Bear, in my opinion, because he's not a person who drops passes. Darnell Mooney's catch, when I asked him myself, he said, if I had a step, I probably that's definitely secure. He said, but at the same time, it hit me in my hands, I got to catch it. It would have been a tough catch regardless.
Yeah, but it's in, I have this thing, if it's in your hands, you got to catch it. But I would give both Mooney and A-Rob passes because I really feel like they were shocked they had a quarterback that could hit them in stride. They've been fighting for balls the last, well, A-Rob since he's been here, you know, Mooney since last year. I will say this, man. A-Rob got to make that catch, but I don't like how Bears fans act like A-Rob shouldn't want his money. That shit is loser shit to me. Like, he's been out here. If you look at A-Rob's numbers, the numbers that he's had since being a Bear with playing with bum-ass quarterbacks, the dude is worth the fucking money. Yes, he got to make those type of catches, but we all know A-Rob is going to make them catches 9 times out of 10. You know what I'm saying? Like, A-Rob is not drop shit. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like how Bears fans are like, oh, I bet his agent won't tweet today. How dare his agent want his clients to go to the highest fucking bidder? That's his fucking job. You know what I'm saying? So that type of shit pisses me off because if A-Rob leaves next year, Bears fans are going to be bitching and blame Ryan Pace when you the motherfuckers who's acting like we didn't need him any damn way. So that shit I don't fucking like. But I give Justin a C-. You say you didn't think he looked nervous. I thought he looked nervous. I mean, I've never seen a quarterback have back-to-back false starts. It was on him.
He that's not little... nervous more so. That's a lack of, what's the word? A lack of reps between the players. That's not nervous. That's,
I still think so. I think that, it's a mix.
I can't call it nervous because nobody else said it. Everybody on the field said, he didn't look nervous. And so it would be illogical for me to assume that it was nerve. That's just a lack of reps. He's running a play and he's snapping and clapping his hands. Sam Mustipher is probably used to, it's just a difference of timing that he had. Two back-to-back false starts was just a difference in timing. I wouldn't call that nerves.
In my opinion, he was nervous.
Well, your opinion is fat.
In my opinion, he was nervous. But number one thing that stood out was lack of communication, lack of reps with the ones, which is why we've been saying on this fucking podcast for 2 months now, he needs to practice with the fucking ones. We've been screaming that from the fucking mountaintops. You got to practice with the ones. You got to practice with the ones. So we're seeing that. And to go off what Dante said in this call, yeah, I don't think Nagy was to blame because the game was close. I think the defense took the foot off the gas and the and Justin did some bonehead shit at the end of the game. You know, those play with those false starts and that terrible fucking interception. So I'm not going to blame Nagy on that. But I do need Nagy to switch it up. I'm going to give him a week. I'm going to next week when we get ready because Cleveland is a good team. You know, Cleveland can be beat. Cleveland can be beat. They almost lost to Houston today. They almost lost to Houston today. They can be beat. I don't think they look as unstoppable as a lot of teams, y'all, because I didn't have them on that list. With all there is going to be so far. Of course, only 2 weeks, so we can't make a big determination yet. I need to see a game plan. What I don't want to see is what do we always say during Mitch's time here? That Nagy never used Mitch's strengths, which was his fucking feet.
Yeah.
I need to see him. They need to move that pocket. They need to move that pocket. Even though the offensive line ain't great, a mobile quarterback can work around that. We see that with fucking Baltimore. You know, you move around. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I want to see. I want to see more of a game plan of plays that fit his skill set. So I'm going to be watching. Nagy's officially on the clock because Justin's out there and we got to see offensive points. 20 points ain't going to fucking cut it. And really, that's only And really, it's only 13. Yeah, points. Only 13 because the other came from Roquan. So yeah. That shit ain't going to cut it. And we need to see more. I need to see touchdowns. And the spotlight's on Nagy, man. But as far as Justin... I was a C-, but he should have had a touchdown. A-Rob catch that ball. we're grading him way higher. If Mooney catches that ball, we're grading that real high. Kmet had a bonehead penalty, which would have been a big first down and could continue that fucking drive. So those different things. The receivers didn't help him out. So we need to see more of that, but I think all that's going to come in practice time. So I'm excited to see. It's going to be a big week at Hallis Hall this week. Of course, everybody's going to be, you know, just waiting for Nagy to make the official announcement that Justin is the quarterback. I'll be shocked if that happens today on Monday, because when you'll be hearing this, I think it's going to happen on Wednesday. And then it's going to be time to rock and roll, man. I'm excited for the rest of the season officially. I don't really care about wins and losses for the rest of the year. Any wins would be cool, but it's all about Justin Fields' development, man. I think, you know, one thing we was talking about, shout out to the homie 312 Darius, we were all tweeting about it after the game, is we Bears fans got to be in the moment right now. Like, how long have you been waiting for a franchise quarterback? We got to see, we're about to watch the journey. So that maybe 10 years from now, when, you know, he's one of the best players in the league, we got a couple Super Bowls, hopefully. We remember how it was when we first started. It's the NFL. It really takes about 3 to 4 years before you really know what kind of quarterback you have, unless the nigga's Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? When he's a different fucking animal. And Aaron Rodgers, too, but that's also because Aaron Rodgers sat behind, you know, Favre for about 4 years. You know what I'm saying? But with the exception of those two, like, even Brady, if we want to be 100% real, Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady to 2007. Okay, that's 2005.
You sure about that, bro?
2005. What was the first year Brady had 30 touchdowns? Had to be like 05.
He had 28 in 2002.
I said 30.
He had 28, bro.
I said 30. No, how many was the first time he had 30?
He didn't have 30 till he had 50.
That's my fucking point.
It's 2007, but
my fucking point.
We're gonna pass up the 28 he had consecutively.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying he wasn't a Tom. At that time, Tom Brady was just he was a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Tom Brady was more known as a great playoff quarterback.
Oh, this cap.
No, let me reword this, because I'm the biggest Brady fan on planet Earth. He was definitely a top two, top three quarterback at the time, is what I'm saying. But you know that he's 14 touchdowns away from having more touchdowns in his 40s than he did in his 20s.
Really shocked.
That's fucking ridiculous. That's what I'm talking about. So he didn't become Tom fucking Brady to 2007. So what I'm saying is it takes time. So there's going to be fuck ups, and there's going to be a lot of dick eaters out there who just like to see Bears fans mad and who want to criticize him, who he's going to be under the microscope. And that's fair. That's fair. Am I going to react? 100% I'm going to react. I'm going to defend him like he's my fucking child. But stay in the moment and enjoy this. This is what we've been waiting for, and get ready for the ride. The ups and the downs, I'm ready to watch it. I'm fully locked in for the rest of the season. I'm excited about this. The White Sox going to clinch the AL Central this week. It's going to be a big week for Chicago sports.
My take is definitely do not pay attention to wins and losses. I mean, what's the point of paying attention to wins and losses? More importantly, when you're developing a young quarterback, it's very, very uncommon for them in their first year to just be like freaking Justin Herbert.
Justin, by the way, Jay Herbo is generational.
I think so.
He's generational, bro. Like somebody said, over the next 10 years, what's the quarterback you want over Justin Herbert? Patrick Mahomes. That is it.
Yes.
That is fucking it.
That is literally it.
That kid is a stud.
But he's a beast. There's nothing more to say than he's a beast. I really think that as I was saying, it's rare for you to find a player who just comes in their rookie year and kills. Before Justin Herbert's 30 touchdowns, it was 28 from Russell Wilson. Am I correct? Or was I wrong? I said before Justin Herbert's 30 touchdowns, was it? Okay, so it was
the record before him?
It was Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield?
Yes. Baker Mayfield had 27 in 2018. Russell Wilson had 26, so right under. Outside of that, it was Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning also had 26. So it doesn't really happen. Outside of that, Daniel Jones had 24, Dak Prescott 23, Andrew Luck 23. Jameis Winston, 22, and then a lot of 20s, just a lot of 20s. Andy Dalton's on this list with 20.
Okay, I got a question. Not a question, let's do a prediction. So now that he's starting, we're gonna move this forward like he's going to start week three, even though you're on 80%, I'm on 100. Let's just, hypothetically, he's named the starter this week. Give me your numbers for him for the rest of the season. 15 games left.
15 game left. So you really just only normally in the season you're only missing, you know, one. Yeah. In normal season, you're only sorry, it's my dog's chew toy. You're only missing one game. You're only missing one of those games. It'll be 15. I would give him maybe about 2,700 yards passing.
Okay.
With about, I give him 20 passing touchdowns, or probably 7 to 8 picks. I don't. He's just not a person who throws a lot of picks. It's just never been his. Same game. Time, Joe Burrow has never thrown a lot of picks in his entire career. Lord have mercy.
I mean, you freaking, all had that one game.
Look at Zach Wilson.
All I'm saying, you know, in today's NFL, niggas throw picks. Herbert had 2 picks today.
Yeah. Yeah. Niggas throw picks.
Yeah, it's really about how you shake it off. Niggas throw picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're fucking Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Freaking the entirety of Zach Wilson's college career is 15 interceptions. That's 3 years.
I'm not going to bury Zach. We'll talk about this on 2 minute drill, but.
Oh, no. I'm just saying about interceptions. So.
No. I was just going to say, I just never thought he was good. But anyway, continue. I just never thought he was fucking good.
But yeah, so I'm not going to pay attention to whether the Bears win or lose. When I said that, hey, you know, I wasn't nervous about the game. I wasn't. When the Bengals were like, I thought, man, I'm ready for the. I'm guessing the Bengals gonna come back and score. I was like, huh? I'm really shocked.
Now, I was calm this game last week. I was nervous because not nervous. But I was annoyed because it's on national TV.
I wasn't annoyed at all. I wasn't annoyed even remotely.
I was annoyed. I was like, I'm tired of getting embarrassed on national TV.
I was like, yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is. Like that was really my entire movie. It is what it is. And so when Justin Fields came in, that was completely different. I was like, ah, crap. Here we go. And I started getting actually nervous, and everybody else all of the young journalists. It's funny because the young journalists literally sit in one section of the room. All of us, the new generation is going to take over. We were all sitting in one section. I don't know if this is literally on purpose, but you had the Bigs, you had Barbara Shea, you had Chicago Audible, War Media. We're literally all of the youngest in the room or the rookies in the room. I'm not a rookie, but, you know, real niggas like me. It's my second year. But anyway, it's all of us were, you can tell we're not as jaded as older Bears journalists are. All the Bears journalists like, oh, that's just another Bears game. It's how they do.
But you also got to know how many decades of terrible fucking football.
Oh, have. I know. You know, when people say, man, does Dan Weederer hate the Bears? I'm like, he's covered them for like 15 years. What do you mean? You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? What do you think? He knows who the Bears are. You know, how does someone like Mark Potash, who's covered them for, I don't know, how freaking long. Like literally his tweet about the game was like, the Bears have shocked me today. That's it. But he's had plenty of time. He said, the Bears shocked me. He's seen years of bad, bad football. So I would be just as jaded as them as I was.
But Taysom, why? I think it's going to take me at least a season and a half of Justin Fields before I'm not terrified when the Bears quarterback puts the ball in there.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to take at least a year and a half. Like, absolutely. I'd be terrified when the ball's in there. Just because we've seen so many. It's like we're in an abusive relationship. Somebody put their hand up like this. You're going to be. Oh damn! Fucking hit you. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna take at least a year and a half before Justin throws the ball, and I'm like, oh, he got this.
Yeah,
yeah. It's gonna take a while, but I'm excited to watch. I'm gonna say 2,500 yards passing. I'm gonna say 20 passing touchdowns. I think he's gonna have 5 rushing touchdowns. And I'm gonna say about 7 interceptions too. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah. You said 25.
2,500 yards. Okay. 20 passing touchdowns. So this is your first home game. What was the atmosphere like?
Oh man.
It felt loud. It sounded loud as shit on the TV. It sounded like it was a real, like Soldier Field felt like it was back, like the essence of Soldier Field was back.
It was just, you know, it was indescribable. I've attended games, of course, you know, in the stands, but to hear like on there's metal underneath the press box, of course, I called it up the stadium, and you hear him going. Just pounding on it, fans just excited. Literally, you look over and they're really right below us. People are excited. Like when Allen Robinson dropped that would-be touchdown, it was a big, oh, because the top was about to come off Soldier Field. The top was ready to come off. I was going to.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez said that on the call. He said, this building wants to explode.
I was trying my hardest not to cheer. I was like, oh my God. So the energy was hyped when he came in. I mean, he fumbled the ball and then grabbed his fumble. I'm like, yeah. Like, people were excited. It's just the hustle that he had. So, nah, man, this week, man, Bears fans have waited a long time for a good quarterback. There has not been a good quarterback at the position of quarterback in the history of the Bears since, you have to give it to Sid Luckman. But Sid Luckman's stats would get him removed from the NFL in today's NFL. But you're not getting 137 touchdowns and 132 interceptions. It's acceptable in today's NFL.
I know this is like, I think Nolan Ryan would get rocked in today's MLB. It's just shit evolves.
I mean, now he did have like a 28-10 season in 1940, which is ridiculous.
I feel you. I still think he is.
He also had like a 24 touchdown, 30 interception season in the 40s. So what he was doing was also unheard of. But, you know, I guess interceptions then were just a part of the game because niggas was throwing with reckless abandonment. But he was also in an era where nobody threw like that. So he was a very high value thrower. But yeah, so with respect to Sid Luckman, he's the only good Bears quarterback in Bears history. You know, yeah. Mr. Bisky has the Pro Bowl season, but he's a freaking alternate.
Fourth alternate at that.
You know what I'm saying? There has never been a good Bears quarterback. What NFL franchise has went through no good quarterbacks like the Bears have had?
The fucking Browns, nigga.
Are we sure?
Before Baker? Yes.
Are we sure about that? I have no
clue. There's not a doubt. I think they got worse quarterbacks than us.
I'm talking about in their glory years.
They never had glory years.
Did they win some NFL championships?
I'm talking about in the Super Bowl era.
Oh, well, no. I'm talking about overall.
Who has gone
from the 40s to the 2000s with
they
no
won
good
because of fucking they won because of Jim Brown. They didn't win because they quarterback.
As I was saying, who has gone from to the 40s to the 2020s with no good quarterback in between? That's what I'm saying.
Before Baker Mayfield, it was the Cleveland Browns. Go look at how many fucking they got worse QB history than us.
I'm looking it up. Shout out to Baker for coming back. Coming back for the injury. It's my boy. Tough.
I don't fuck with Baker.
Why not? What do you hate about
Baker? I just don't fuck with Baker.
There's no reason.
Just don't fuck with Baker Mayfield.
There is literally no reason for you to dislike
him. I think he all right.
But what does that have to do with himself?
He got a slappable face. Well, he all right.
The Bears, the Browns have had.
I don't like Baker. The way y'all think I think about Lamar Jackson is how I really think about Baker Mayfield.
No,
I like
Lamar Jackson. You hate black QBs.
So. I like Lamar Jackson a lot. I just don't think he has a good time. I just don't think he's great at reading defense, which he proved countless times tonight. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, Browns have worse QB history than us.
So, no, they're the same as us. Otto Graham. They haven't had anybody since Otto Graham.
It's the same as us, man.
That's what I literally just said, fat man. Yeah,
but Jay Cutler better than a lot of the niggas they had.
Bro, we're talking.
Mitch is better than a lot of the niggas they had.
That's hindsight. We cannot focus on hindsight.
Hindsight? I'm talking about before Baker Mayfield. That's not hindsight.
I said Otto Graham, and you said Jay Cutler is better than a lot of them niggas. I'm like, well, yeah, Otto Graham played in the 40s. So hindsight will make us seem like, of course.
Look, man, we gotta have a warning.
You've been warned. You were warned and you're muted. You were warned and you're muted. So, yes, the arm talent of somebody in the 40s is you can't match somebody in the 2000s.
What I'm saying is
you muted again. You can't interrupt me, brother. You muted again. You're going to let me speak. The arm talent of a quarterback in the 1950s was just not developed in the 2020s, like it is the 2020s, and even the 1990s. So if you put Mitch Trubisky in the 40s, Jay Cutler in the 40s, they throw like 90 touchdowns. Of course they would, because their arm talent was developed and they're faster than everybody on the field, obviously. But for who Otto Graham, who Sid Luckman were, they were some of the best quarterbacks of their time. He's a pro football Hall of Famers. So, as I was saying, you were correct.
They've had
worse QB luck than us.
That's all the fuck I'm saying.
Because they never had stability with, at least we had Jay Cutler for like 6 years straight.
Right.
We had Mr. Biscuit for 4 years.
We went to an NFC championship game with Jay Cutler.
Exactly. They had nothing. So, yes, So,
but even with Sid Luckman,
it's ironic that we played. It's ironic that we played them next.
But even with Sid Luckman, Otto Graham, I feel like there's got to be a time we cut the shit off. Like Sid Luckman was an associate in the '50s. That's a, he was a coach in the '50s, my nigga. That's how old even. That's after. I'm not counting nothing pre 1960. Nothing. JFK was still alive. JFK wasn't even a president when that nigga was playing. That's got to be a cutoff. Captain America was an idea when Otto Graham was fucking quarterback of the Browns. We got to cut it off somewhere. The Super Bowl is almost 60 years old. I damn near want to just say Super Bowl era. But I'll be fair, anything before 1960, I'm not counting. Just like NBA. I don't count anything pre-Kareem. Y'all can say what y'all want to do. Anything before Kareem, I don't give a shit about. That's just my point. Like Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth would get fucking struck out by Max Scherzer. He'll make him look like fucking Ray Durham, with all due respect to Ray Durham.
You done?
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, man. We got it. After a while, we got to cut some of the show. It was like 100 years ago. We'll continue.
One thing's for sure is I'm never going to disrespect the OGs of the game.
OGs. The OGs are Deion Sanders.
You get muted. I'm not going to disrespect the OGs, the people who founded the league that you have now. Because you haven't seen them play, I think one thing I hate is like if people say, oh man, LeBron is the best player all the time. I'm like, man, Mike played in the 90s. You can have solid footage of Michael Jordan playing. You don't need to say something like this. It would be a stretch for them to look up, you know, somebody before him. Like we're talking about 70s basketball. You're talking about Dr. J. Yes, that'd have been a little tough for them to look up. But with that being said, you have to respect those who came before you. But my point was not to say Sid Luckman is the greatest. It was just to say the Bears haven't had a quarterback considered great at the position since Sid Luckman. In 1940, Sid Luckman was, you know, generational. Otto Graham was generational. Since then, the Bears haven't had anything. But yes, the Browns have had worse luck. But has there been an NFL team that has not had a consistent outside of, you know, are we the only two teams that have not had, you know, good quarterback play since the freaking 40s?
Probably not.
And
Detroit? Well, you can't even say Detroit. They
Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford. She's Hall of Famer. So
is he?
Absolutely.
Matt Stafford Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stop you capping. When he get that Super Bowl this
year. Okay, if he get a Super Bowl, yes. But as right now, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, he has the most passing attempts in the season. He's over. He's going to reach 70,000 passing yards by the time he's done. 300 touchdowns. Not 70,000 passing yards. I'm tripping. He's going to reach 50,000 plus, maybe 60,000 passing yards before he's complete. Before he's finished. Pro Bowler. I don't see how. I don't see how you cannot put him in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
300. He's going to have 300, probably 50 touchdowns. 140 picks.
Can he be a Hall of Famer? Yes. If his career stopped today, I don't know.
I think so. Because first of all, nobody cares about Pro Bowls.
I didn't say nothing about Pro Bowls.
It's literally about
all pros.
On top of that, Matthew Stafford is the fastest person to reach 45,000 passing yards. He's going to get like 60,000 passing yards.
Fucking Detroit. All he had to do is throw.
What's the all-time passing yards? Is it Tom Brady?
It's fucking Drew. No, it's Drew Brees or Tom Brady. No, Tom Brady passed Drew Brees.
Just passed Drew Brees, right?
Yeah.
It is. I guess they didn't have it updated to Wikipedia, but Tom Brady was right behind him. Look at the 80,000 passing yards. God, if Matt Stafford would stay healthy, he would eclipse that. So
would have, could have, should have.
But yeah, he's a freaking Hall of Fame quarterback. I would have to go through the list of Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens had.
That's Super Bowls, but as QBs.
they had McNair. They had McNair for 1 year. McNair was really, really good that 1 year.
That's okay. At least he was there.
And Flacco.
Flacco won the MVP, won the Super Bowl.
And now they have Lamar. So it's three.
Okay. That's true. Now I'm intrigued. Is there anybody? Cincinnati? And Carson Palmer, right?
Yeah, Carson Palmer. True. And Dalton wasn't bad.
True.
And them niggas went to the fucking Super Bowl in the 80s. So I know they had a decent quarterback back then.
We just assume.
Yeah.
Bills had Jim Kelly. Now they have Josh Allen.
Who was yeah. thinking to join up since I gave him my co-sign, by the way?
He was good today.
He was okay.
You messed up black quarterbacks, and now you're coming for the white ones. Now I'm looking at all NFL teams right now and just looking at like their logos and trying to get a feel of.
Okay, here's a better question. What franchise has the best quarterbacks?
Ooh.
I'm going to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, the freaking Niners. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to San Francisco.
Okay, I'm going to just start naming all these teams and, you know, just it's be quick. Ravens, we talked about. Bengals, we talked about. Browns, we talked about. Steelers, of course. They've had Ben Roethlisberger. They had my man.
Terry Bradshaw.
Buffalo Bills, we just talked about. Miami Dolphins, come on now. You had you could be considered still the greatest quarterback of all time without a ring. Yeah, the New England Patriots, come on now. The New York Jets.
Joe Namath,
Broadway Joe. Okay. Houston, Texas, they had that inmate. Indianapolis Colts.
Chad Pennington was decent. Sanchez had a couple years.
No, Sanchez had no years. You're a liar. It doesn't matter. They had Broadway Joe. That in itself is enough. Indianapolis Colts, as I said, the Texans had he or should not be named. The Indianapolis Colts goes without saying. The Jaguars.
Mark Brunell was decent for a minute. And then Leftwich. Brunell was decent.
You sure about that?
Brunell was decent. Look at the years he had Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell.
Lord, those names.
Mark Brunell was decent. Byron Leftwich was decent. David Garrard was decent.
David Garrard was not decent.
David Garrard was decent.
But Mark Brunell was their starting quarterback for almost a decade. So
Mark Brunell was decent.
That has to go for something. And he was like a 20-7 touchdown passer. Yeah, okay. So yeah, he was decent. So yeah, so we can't count them. Tennessee Titans, of course, you know.
Stephen
had Air McNair. Denver Broncos, of course. Kansas City Chiefs, obviously. The Las Vegas Raiders, of course. The Chargers, of course. The Bears, no. The Lions, yes. Packers, of course. Vikings. Yeah, you know, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback.
Far that 1 year was cold.
Also at Favre. Dallas Cowboys, obviously. Giants, obviously. Eagles, yeah. Washington.
Joe Theismann.
Did he like break his leg that 1 year?
Yeah. Joe Theismann, who's the only black quarterback to win the
Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, the backup. Doug Williams. Atlanta Falcons, obviously. Carolina Panthers, obviously.
Matt Ryan. And Matthew. And they hate Matt Ryan.
They hate Matt Ryan.
Goodness. I don't understand why Falcons
fans would kill Matt for Ryan. Matt Ryan's career on the Bears.
Falcons fans act like Matt Ryan called the police on Michael Vick.
Bro, I would kill. All Falcons
fans know that Matt Ryan is way better than Michael Vick.
Way better.
Like, it's not even fucking close.
Not even remotely close. Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And they hate him. Like,
Keith be going off on Matt Ryan every week, man. That shit had me dying.
Dude, Keith is the most Atlanta nigga ever.
I respect it, though.
I do. But, as I was saying, I would literally kill to have their a Matt Ryan's career. If you could take all of Matt Ryan's career and swap him with every Bears quarterback and put him and install him, would you not do that?
For sure.
They hate him. Was it T? Somebody was on that. Okay, look at this dweeb doing a pad interception. I'm like, man, y'all hate this man. What did he do to you all?
Nothing. Matt Ryan did nothing but show up for Atlanta every week.
It's ridiculous. The Buccaneers. Yeah, you got Tom Brady right now. And you
who was before Tom Brady, though? They had some trash niggas. Jameis, I guess. Jameis was cool. Brad Johnson, didn't he win MVP? No, that was Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon won MVP.
He was with the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
The Buccaneers, I mean, you had freaking Tom Brady. You won the Super Bowl. Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. You had Kurt Warner. Those resurrected years. The Rams.
Kyle out here balling.
Kyle, man. Was I wrong about man?
Real man energy.
I'm going to have a rant about baseball players playing football. The Rams.
Oh, Kurt Warner. Come on, man.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we completely forget about San Francisco 49ers. We already talked about it. Seattle Seahawks, obviously. And you had some good years out of Mount Hasselbeck. So
it's true.
So the Browns
are going to take the ball. We're going to score.
Foolish. The Browns and the Bears. The only two teams were just ass. Like there was no, there was like at least like you said, the Washington team, they had Joe
Theismann. There's generations between the Bears and the Browns.
Like, bro, at least those years, like Joe Theismann had a year. There was no year we're like, oh, we had a great quarterback play that
the
year.
Bears talk about, Bears fans talk about Jim McMahon like he was fucking Joe Montana.
He's ass.
And that nigga stank. Let's just keep it all the way funky. He stank.
He stank.
Let's just be real. All respect to what was his nickname?
White man. Was, I don't know.
Jimmy Mack. 85 Bears, one of my favorite 30s ever.
Absolutely.
But come on, man. He sucked. He sucked.
But I'm surprised we actually been podcasting this long. It's a good feeling. It's good us to hear us just rambling. But I had, you know what? I've noticed. First off, former baseball football players who played baseball, specifically quarterbacks, if I have a quarterback in high school, I'm going to tell him, you need to play two sports. You need to play baseball. Because the arm you develop, I mean, throwing from left field, let's say you catch it at the wall and you have an arm like who had the best arm in left field in the recent memory you could think of? I like Cespedes' arm. He could make some bonehead errors in left field, but he could launch when he was with the A's. Isn't his little brother in minors? Isn't he with the Sox?
He been with the Sox fucking forever.
His little brother, wasn't his little brother with us?
I'm not sure. Trey Thompson? Yeah, he's with us, but that was fucking years ago.
I said Cespedes, nigga.
Oh, Cespedes. I thought you said something about Clay Thompson. Yeah, Cespedes' little brother is with us. Yeah, yeah.
But Cespedes had a freaking cannon in left field. Like, remember those two freaking catches that he dropped launched at home? Like, how long is that 400 yards from home plate or 400 feet?
And they got a big ass fucking field in Oakland.
Like, how freaking long is that? So, if I have a son who is playing football and he's playing quarterback, I'm just going to tell him just to get into baseball. You also know who played baseball in high school and was a two sport star?
Justin Fields.
Now, of course, I'm pretty sure Kyler Murray was a star in college. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't. Now, wasn't Russell Wilson a star in college in baseball? Am I tripping?
Yeah, he got drafted by the Yankees.
Yeah. So, Kyler Murray got drafted?
Yeah, by the A's.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember his rookie, there was a discussion. Was he going to go to
MLB? He was the ninth overall selection?
Yeah, remember he was cold. Remember you don't remember his rookie year? That was a legit discussion if he was going to go to the MLB or the NFL.
Man. But I'm not shocked to see him throw as well as he did. What position did he play in baseball is the question.
I don't remember.
The funny thing is he said June that he's still open to play if I ever got the opportunity.
Nigga. That's never gonna happen. Niggas been saying that shit, fam.
I would love
that to not see... ever. Nothing's gonna happen like Deion Sanders ever again.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That's man.
Anybody who was another great 30 for 30, you see how much the Falcons didn't have a problem with it. It was the Braves who had a problem with it. The Falcons was cool with it. The Falcons and Nike supplied him with that fucking helicopter to go from one game to go to the fucking World Series.
You know did he win a World Series?
Nah, they almost did. They lost a 7.
Damn, trash.
Remember, the Braves won 14 division titles and only got one ring.
Ass. Kyler Murray was an outfielder, so I'm not shocked to see as a cannon the stuff he is doing. But anyway, it's just my rant to football players who have played baseball, just develop that freaking arm strength because he has a rocket. He is 5'11", probably 5'10" in reality, and he has a freaking rocket. Do the Bears play the Cardinals this year? I don't think so.
Yeah, we do. We play the NFC West. Yeah, we play
them. We play the entire.
We play the entire NFC West. Yeah, we play
the question is that in Arizona or is that here? Is what it's I here. Don't know. It's it is here. Here. I cannot wait to see.
Man versus Justin Fields.
I can't wait
and
to see.
And that's nothing I'm excited about. All these quarterback matchups that we're going to see for the rest of the year, we're finally a part of. We no more Khalil Mack in the ads. You know, in the ads, it's always a great quarterback and it's Khalil Mack. The game first. Khalil look, Mack though, bro. I was very close to not him not being my game day Abby.
I was going to switch my game to Abby. To me, outside the Walter
Sean Chase. Desai put Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack on the same side.
Can we give Sean Desai a round of applause? Remember, you said on the pod last week, Sean Desai, this is a big week for him.
The dude is a freaking genius. He's a PhD in education, has a bachelor's in philosophy. The man is a literal genius. So I'm not shocked to see him adjusting well. And he decided, you know what? First of all, you know who I used to hate? When Clay Matthews was in his prime with the Packers would overload. And so they would put Clay Matthews on the same side as the other starting outside linebacker and just blitz them together. And it's like, how are you going to stop both of them? How are you going to stop both of them on the same side? Sean Desai said Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack on the same side. It was beautifully, beautifully drawn up. Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn were responsible for that sack. I'm pretty sure they didn't give him a half sack. They just gave Robert Quinn the whole sack. And so Khalil Mack on the other side, of course, got a sack. And so it was just a very masterful game. Those two touchdowns, I mean, what do you do when you give a team such great field position? That's bound to happen. You know what I mean?
That's like bound to happen. That has a lot to do with that terrible interception by Justin.
It does. Justin has to take ownership of it, which he did.
And you know what I love about Justin's humility? Like, and I think humility is overrated, by the way. Fuck humility. But I just like how he you can really feel like he, even though he's one of the top quarterbacks, I always say him and Trevor Lawrence are, I believe, the Magic and Bird of football of this generation. Like, they've been tracking this from high school. We're always going to compare those two together. He still was appreciative of the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when he was interviewed, man, this is my first, you know, NFL post game. Like, you could tell that he's still enjoying the fucking moment, which is why I still feel like he was a little bit nervous. I think we're going to see a different Justin Fields next week. I think he's going to be – I cannot wait. All these matchups, we get to see Baker Mayfield and Justin Fields. Justin Fields versus Tom Brady. The future versus the future versus the king. You know what I'm saying? That first Packers-Bears game, oh, boy. It's going to be in Lambeau and in Soldier Field. That energy is going to be crazy. Because for the first time, we have a quarterback. And, of course, I'm not saying he can go head-to-head with Aaron Rodgers. Let me relax. You know what I'm saying? Not saying all that shit. But it's good to know we don't have a dickhead in our under center who we know can't do anything up against Aaron Rodgers. So I'm just excited for all these different QB matchups we're going to watch for the rest of the season. So that's what I'm excited about.
Looking back, oh, my God, it's Allen Robinson. Oh, this pisses me off so badly. Oh, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Justin Fields should have had two touchdowns today. Let's talk about that.
What was the other touchdown he should have?
He was matched 1-on-1 on the outside. Justin threw it on his back shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
He put it in a perfect position. Allen Robinson got out muscled. You can't get out muscled when you're bigger than the cornerback and you're the number one receiver. That's my knock against him. Because if this is that's Nook, that's a touchdown. But that's Nook, that's a touchdown.
But Allen Robinson's not fucking Nook.
I know. That's why, you know, if he walks, I'm like, eh.
No, that's what I said. Allen Robinson's a really good wide receiver. He's not a fucking playmaker. I mean, he's not Nuke. He's not fucking Devontae. He's not Mike Evans. He's not none of them. You know what I'm saying?
So
there's no way Devontae. Devontae probably got the best hands in the league. Devontae grabs the fuck out of that ball.
Like, looking at where it was placed, Justin expecting him to pull a Jimmy Graham. Use your body.
Speaking of Devontae, he is a free agent next year. What if?
Throw it. Give him everything.
My
house is worth nothing compared to him.
The fucking Brinks truck. I will let A-Rob walk. Come on. Justin
Fields. Would I sign there if I was him? Interesting.
For Justin Fields? Hell yeah.
No, I'm saying if I was Nook, would I sign? Not if I'm Nook. If I was Devontae Adams, would I sign here?
Yes, I would.
Then again, you don't know who Jordan Love is.
All but fuck Jordan. Niggas know Jordan Love. The Packers know Jordan Love stink. If the Packers even felt that Jordan Love was even really good, like even like if they even thought he was Mac Jones, they would have traded Aaron Rodgers. They know that nigga stink. They know he stink. This is what it is. Devontae Adams is mad at the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is gonna leave. Hell yeah, I come to the Bears. I'll be able to kick the fucking Packers ass twice a year. You with a young quarterback, and it's a better fucking city. I want to fucking live in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
True.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a Bears W. Of course, I will be there Thursday and Friday, so I will get you all ready for your I will get to Cleveland on Friday. So I will probably hopefully be recording from the hotel. and get us a pregame rolling. I will have seen Thursday and Friday. So, you know, just explain the mood, and we'll know, of course, we'll know more about who's starting. Matt Nagy does have press
available. We should know by the time we do the 79th house minimum. I'm not going to hold you this
week. Yeah. Matt Nagy does have availability. I was literally too late to fill it out. So, but you know, it's really nothing more. Driving an hour to hear 20 minutes is just a waste.
Yeah.
It's not a waste, but it's a lot to call on somebody who doesn't live anywhere near that. I would have loved to hear it in person, of course, but I will be up just to see anyway. So we'll probably hear more about that from Matt Nagy. You'll hear this Monday by the time this comes out.
First victory Monday of the season, man. Let's start the week off right.
So by the time this comes out, you'll know simultaneously.
Can I say one thing that's non-football related?
Sure.
White Sox fans, I will say this. We're going to win our first division title in 13 years this year. I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs in a couple weeks.
First round exit.
I don't know. It's baseball. You never know what the fuck. Everybody's like, oh, we have to go in momentum. That's true, but you could be a team that's on fire and all of a sudden first game playoffs, you can't hit shit. That's just baseball.
That's true.
That's literally fucking – I have zero idea. If they lost the first round, wouldn't shock me. If they went to the fucking World Series and won it, wouldn't fucking shock me. It's fucking baseball. But for White Sox fans, what I'm telling everybody, and this is what I've been telling myself the last couple weeks and why I haven't really been as angry the last couple weeks, embrace the moment. Embrace the moment. It's the first time in 13 years that we're going to win a division. This is a big moment. Go out there. I'm going to have a celebratory beer when we win. I'm not going to break out the champagne. Champagne is only for pennants and World Series championships. But I'm going to break out a bit. Enjoy the moment. A lot of White Sox Twitter, y'all was like 7 or 8. When we won in 08, because I was 20. I couldn't even legally drink last time we won the fucking Central. Obama wasn't even president yet. That's how damn long. He was a month away from being elected president. So enjoy the moment. This is just one accomplishment this year. Hopefully we get two more. We win the AL Penn and win the World Series. But enjoy it. It's a big week. Looks like we're going to clinch in Detroit, just like we did in 05. So salute to the White Sox, man. That's all I'm going to say about that. Big week for Chicago sports.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you all for listening. You will hear this Monday. We'll then catch you all Saturday with the pregame against the Cleveland Browns. As always, the Go Crazy Hotline is always open. You can leave literally any sort of message anytime.
Throughout the week.
Because if you leave it during the week, we'll just play it during the pregame. And so just always keep that in mind. The phone number is 224-475-1045. Again, that's 224-475-1045. I'm Flo's. That's Scott. We will catch you all.
Let's have a good week.
On Saturday, bear down.